You're right. Luke chapter number 2. Thank y'all. And that was wonderful this evening. Okay. Luke chapter number 2. And we, in fact, have been preaching along that same line now. This is our third weekend in a row. Tonight will be message number 6, dealing with Christ's birth. And we have felt led, compelled of the Lord to do this. I don't always preach on the seasons or around the calendar, some would call it. And you come to Calvary, you liable to hear messages about the birth of Christ in April or May, if that's what the Lord tells us to preach. And we do, but we have felt compelled this year as we have pondered and prayed and tried to get ready for the month of December's messages and our responsibilities and duties to preach, that the Lord directed us just to settle in and just dive into it. And several have mentioned over the last, last weekend, and then some again today coming out of the building, was making comments about the messages and how they, what they've meant to them this season of year. And we felt like the Lord has led us this way to kind of keep our priorities right. I'm telling you, people's crazy out in this world in this time of the year. All the fussing and fighting and traffic jams and road rage and everything that comes along with this season. We as God's people need to make sure that we have our priorities and our focus on the Lord in the way that it ought to be. And so I trust the messages maybe have been a part of helping you to do that. And this evening, I want to bring it all maybe kind of to a close and see if the Lord will help us one more message here tonight. Stand with me if you're willing and able, and let's read for just a second here, and then we'll give you the direction that we're going. And we'll trust the Lord to help us tonight. I sure do need his help. The Bible said in verse 15, "And it came to pass, after the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." All right, you can be seated tonight. We'll ease into maybe a preaching gear here this evening. If the Lord will help us, we think tonight about Luke chapter number 2 and the verses that precede what we have read tonight. And we preached a lot here the last couple weekends from this text. And what I'm interested in tonight is how this message of Christ's birth had been these men who received and first told this message of Christ's coming, and the responsibilities that they take on, or the inspirations that are made in their heart concerning the message they received and getting that out to other people in the community. And no doubt the verses we've read tonight communicate that. And we want to deal with tonight the messengers of Christ's birth. We've looked at the mystery of it. We looked at the mother of Christ's birth. We looked at the miracle of Christ's birth. I love that message on Joseph, on the miracle you need when your life is in a mess. And I'm telling you, this world's in a mess and are upside down and need a miracle from God. And I'm telling you, Jesus is that miracle. He is the answer for everything that has mankind in a mess today. And then this morning, we preach message number 5 on the manger of Christ's birth. And we preach the message entitled, "The Way in the Manger." And no doubt that is exactly what Jesus is. Now this evening, we come kind of to the concluding part of the text concerning the birth of Christ. And it deals with these shepherds. tonight, as we think about the shepherds, them being the first human messengers that would tell the story of Christ coming and the announcement that they would make of his birth in the community and around. And they're not the first messengers, but they are the first human messengers. We understand it's the angels, and that'll be important in a moment. But the angels of the Lord came to them, and then a multitude of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. And they made that first announcement and gave the first message that Jesus Christ had been born. Now that message they had received, they're going to see it for themselves, and then are going to become those first preachers, if you will, the first missionaries, the first messengers that will bear that wonderful message that light has come to darkness, that life has come to a world of death, and that God has come down to mankind. What a message, what a privilege to be the first ones to tell that. This evening we give consideration that the messengers, these first messengers, this message did not come to priests and kings or to social leaders. Came, the Bible said, to lowly shepherd men who were just simply minding their own business, keeping their flocks by night. We think about that. A shepherd in that day was nothing more than one to be looked down upon. It was one that at best, I mean the best idea that men would have toward them would be that these are full-grown men that are so insignificant in society that they would relegate them to what would be known as children's work. We think about the days of David, when David would be anointed to be king, that he had to be called out of the field as he was tending to his father's sheep. And he was the youngest. He was the most insignificant in the family. Nobody ever thought he could be king. He was just a little shepherd boy. And so that is what they thought in those days concerning shepherds. Now, they didn't view them just as men, full-grown men doing children's work. Many times they were despised. They were dejected. They were looked at as a nuisance to society. And it's these very, very common men, shepherd men, that are given the responsibility to be the first messengers of the advent of Christ. I think about these shepherds tonight as the first human messengers. Let me give you two negatives and two positive statements about them. Number one, I want to say tonight, they were not exalted messengers. Again, they're just lowly shepherd men. That's what they were before Christ was born. And that's what they go back to being after they had come to see him. That's just what they were. Again, they were not priests and kings and social leaders. There were plenty of priests in Jerusalem God could have gave the message to. There were kings and governors and district leaders that God could have said, I'm going to allow Herod, or I'm going to allow the Roman emperor, I'm going to allow some other governor to be able to hear this message and receive this message and be the voice that God has come into the world. But God didn't choose priests, and God didn't choose kings. He didn't choose social leaders that were in the world that had a social justice aspect to their mentality, to try to help in the community, to try to organize different events or efforts or relief aid to those that were in need. The Lord let those that were the least exalted have fallen upon their ears and upon their heart the message that Jesus Christ had come into the world. And so these men, they're not exalted messengers. They are indeed just common men. They are shepherds in a field. Let me say this, number two tonight, they were not only not exalted men, but these shepherds were not experienced messengers. They don't know what it is to stand and proclaim great messages. They are not used to giving political decrees. These are men that are in many ways, they are lone wolves. They are reclusive by nature and by their trade. They're men that spend most of their time just by themselves with their little flocks. They don't know what it's like, Sam, to be able to stand and proclaim messages and to connect thoughts. And in fact, in many ways, maybe likely, these men, being not very experienced in the matter of being messengers in communication, these men, they don't know. They may be fear in their heart about standing in front of anyone and began to give them and communicate to them any kind of message. They were not exalted and they were not experienced. But I find something about them. We read it in verse number 20. And I put it this way, these shepherds, as the first human messengers, I would say tonight, they were excited messengers. And they knew they weren't worthy. They knew they weren't exalted. They knew they were the lowest of the low. And they didn't know how to tell great stories and communicate great truths. They're not experienced and they're not exalted. But the Bible said, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Does that not, Brother Riley, sound like excitement in their heart? These are not people that have received a message that has not done something to them. It has excited them. They can't stop thinking about it. They can't stop talking about it. They can't get over the fact that they have been given a message, they have seen it for themselves, and now after they have been used and have seen the Lord, we find there is an excitement that remains in their life. I think tonight about being the messengers for Christ, that we're not we're not exalted, and we're not, this evening many of us are not experienced. I've been doing this preaching now, preaching thing for now for I guess 26, 27, nearly 28 years. And I still feel like I'm so inadequate to do what God has called me to do. But may I say tonight, want to make up for a low degree and want to make up for a lack of experience is just being excited that you know the Lord. Be excited that you've seen him for yourself. Be excited that the message was given to you one day, change your life, and that now you have the opportunity to carry that to somebody else. It still excites me, even in this hour, these last days we're living in. I've been trying to be more dedicated to that in recent days and even weeks of this month, on purpose, trying to find people to witness to and talk to, and just seems to be a renewed excitement about what God did in me and the opportunity to share that with other people that are around us. And these men had that. They were excited messengers. And then number four, I want to preach to us tonight on the fact that they were exemplary messengers. These men set a pattern. These men, Brother Mike, set a direction. They set an example. They set a pattern for you and I to follow in that they were, my friend, just minding their own business one night. God appeared to them. God gave them a message. God changed their heart. God let them see some things for themselves. And God placed within their heart the duty and the obligation, yea, more than that, the privilege of being able to carry that as God's messengers to the generation in which they live. And so they're exemplary messengers tonight. Would to God there be a revival tonight in our hearts that we would say, I want to be like those shepherd men were 2,000 years ago. And we're not interested in our four and no more. And we're not reclusive and spiritually drawn in that we're just going to live our lives and not take anybody to heaven with us, or at least have the opportunity to give the gospel to some soul that is in need. These men, they're exemplary messengers. Amen. Listen, it is from these men. These men who are the first messengers, these men had the opportunity to tell it first, and Jesus came and then he was Savior, and then he was Lord, and then he was God. It is from these men that we can learn tonight what it is to be messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, let me give you the thought, and then I'll give you four quick things tonight. The Bible said, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing. Notice that. See this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Verse 16 said, they came with haste. In verse number 17 it said, and when they had seen it. And so they have come and they have seen. Notice what the Bible said in verse 17. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The Bible references verse number 18. And all they that heard it wondered of those things which were told them by the shepherds. And so they have come and seen. And now they're involved in going and telling. If I was to give you a title for the sermon tonight, I'm preaching on this thought, come and see, go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. And that is what the gospel does in the life of a sinner when the gospel becomes reality. Amen. There is a faith that brings you to see it for yourself. And then there's salvation that is experienced. And I believe tonight with all my heart that those that are truly born again, there is a desire in our hearts to go and tell it to everybody that we can. Now we may fall short, and surely we do, especially in this generation of time. But this evening we need to understand that our duty as a child of God is to be about the business. And those of us that have come and seen would go and tell. Now this evening, let's look at four things out of the text that I think is relevant about these shepherds in light of them being the messengers of Christ's birth. I want to look at their message, the message and the messengers tonight. Notice with me, Brother Riley, first of all, the conception of their message. The Bible said in verse number 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Immediately our minds go back to the preceding verses that would tell about the message revealed to these shepherds themselves. This message that they told, that the Bible said they just simply went, they come to see for themselves. When they seen that it was exactly what they had been told, they then replicated or duplicated, giving that same exact message out to those that were abroad. And so the message they told was the one they had received from heaven. That is where their message was conceived in. This message they gave, it was not, Brother Mike, dreamed up in a back smoky room somewhere. This was not the message that was devised by human hands and human minds and human hearts in a manward religion. Oh no, this message had come to them straight from heaven. And what they had come to see and what they eventually would go and tell was something that had originated from another world. And I remind you tonight that the message we preach and the message of the Word of God, it is something, my friend, that has come from heaven. We don't preach tonight what we got delivered to us from some man. I don't preach tonight and believe what I believe tonight because my daddy was a preacher, my granddaddy was a preacher. I believe I believe that I have tonight a message that has come from God Himself, a message conceived in heaven. What kind of message would come from heaven? Verses preceding these reminds us it was a glorious message. In verse number 9, the Bible said, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It was a glorious message, and can I tell you tonight, a message that Christ has come in the world, that God was manifest in the flesh. It is a glorious message tonight, and we've already preached on that three Sundays ago, shall not bog down. Amen. But to think tonight that God has come down in the flesh, to think tonight that God, through the Christ child, has, my friend, robed himself in flesh and become a man and lived among us and breathed among us and would in time die for us and among us. And having been buried yet raised again, it is a glorious message that we preach. He said in verse number 10, it was a good message. They announced, saying, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. This is a good message tonight that reminds mankind that Jesus came and that Jesus did good. And Jesus, he lived good and he died good. He was buried good. Praise God, he raised again as good as ever. And so it's a good message that we preach tonight. It was a glad message, the Bible said. Again in verse number 10, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so tonight, the message of the Lord Jesus' announcement and his coming, and God coming to man, it is a glad message that mankind doesn't have to stay lost, that mankind don't have to stay in a sin, that mankind don't have to stay on a path to hell. The gladness of the message is simply, my friend, that God made a way for us when there was no way. I can think of no greater joy to be to all people, Brother Tim, than that. And the message that was conceived in heaven, it was a glad message. It was a good message. And it was a glorious message, but it was a gospel message. The Bible said in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. As a result of that, verse 14 said, the multitude in heaven said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so we think tonight about the gospel message, and there is good news from heaven tonight. There's an announcement in this message, and salvation and peace and goodwill can be experienced under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now tonight I'm telling you that message, it did not originate in Rome, and it didn't originate in Utah, and it didn't originate, my friend, in Jerusalem. Oh no, my friend, it originated in the portals of heaven and was conceived there and planned there and purposed there and sent from there. And thank God, it came to them shepherds one night, and that same message that came to them came to me. And if you're saved, it came to you, that glorious message, that good message, that glad message. Thank God, it's just simply the gospel message that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord of all. Amen. The conception of their message. I'm glad. Listen, mankind could not have devised the gospel message. You say, how do you know that? Because every time man sits down to write out a new religion, it's all about man and man doing and man accomplishing and man conquering it and man doing something to gain the attention of God. It's all about man. That's why, amen, that's why we could call names of different religions that we would adamantly stand against tonight. Because they have rejected the message conceived in heaven. For so what some man has said or some religion has said, what has been dreamed up by governments and social leaders, but the message that the shepherds would receive, and ultimately that they would come and see for themselves and go and tell to everyone around them, it was not their own message, it was what had came from glory. Amen. Amen. And so tonight, the word of God is from heaven. The gospel is from heaven. And what we preach about the saving of a soul, it comes from heaven tonight. Amen. Notice with me the constraint of their message. Verse 16. The Bible said, look in verse 15 again. The angels here are gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And so it's beyond curiosity. There is a faith in that statement and that encouraging one another. There is faith that is involved in that they're going to see for themselves, Brother Mark, what has just been told to them. And so the Bible said, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, notice that, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. These shepherds, listen, they did not make it known abroad till they had seen it for themselves. They had to see it, Brother A.L., they had to see it for themselves. These shepherds saw for themselves what they had been told. And not until they knew it personally did they feel constrained within their heart to tell it. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, if you've seen Jesus for yourself, you can't keep it quiet. So, well, I'm nervous, I'm scared, I'm going to tell the wrong person. How could you tell the wrong person that Jesus Christ is coming to the world? They're constrained. There is in the way that this reads in your King James Bible, they didn't have to be browbeat. They didn't even have to be encouraged in the matter that when they realized what they had been given was indeed so, then it was indeed true, and it was indeed a reality. And when the message was seen in them for themselves, there was something automatically in their heart and said, we've got to tell it to other people. When's the last time you told it? When's the last time you said anything about Jesus to somebody? Do you not feel the constraint within you at times that if you was to keep your mouth shut, you'd explode? You say, oh, well, you're the preacher. That's your job. Oh, no, friend. Every born-again child of God is to be involved and constrained in their heart and go and tell others what Jesus has done for them. How have you given out? How have you told it? How have you left the news behind? How have you left the trail of the message that Jesus has come and that Jesus is Savior and that Jesus is Lord and that you've seen it for yourself and that it's changed your life? There ought to be a constraint in that, in that obtaining that personal experience, amen, of what Jesus did for you to tell about it to other people. I wouldn't give you your grandma's used dip of snuff for somebody who claimed to be saved and never told anybody about it. So I live it. You ought to live it in a life that doesn't match what the lips are saying. Amen. They probably need to shut up or get right with God. One, that's probably what they need to do. Amen. Don't shut up. Just get right with God. Let the life match the lips. But I'm telling you, you're just as backslid as a ball in high weeds. Amen. I don't care how you live, but if you don't ever tell it with your lips, you are not right with God. Amen. Amen. They were constrained. They could not contain it. They could not keep it in. They weren't ashamed of the Christ child. They weren't embarrassed of the message they had been given. Oh no, friend, there's something on the inside. They know what they've seen. They know what they've heard. They have been convinced by faith that what they have is so. And can I tell you tonight, amen, in those that have reached a point of saving faith that you know it's so, how in the world could you be red-faced and shame-faced in an ungodly world that at the very message you have had preached to you, a very message you've had the opportunity, yea, the privilege of being able to hear and to know and experience is exactly what could save the world tonight. Do you ever feel constrained to be the voice of God to an ungodly world? I promise you tonight there are souls that are out there, and there's many tonight they're not interested. There's many that live their life doing their own thing with no care, no regard, no thoughts of eternity. Oh, thoughts, my friend, of what awaits after this life. And yet, my friend, there are others tonight. They are empty, and they are their life is void and empty and filled with vanity. And their life tonight is in need of the glorious and the good and the glad and the gospel message had changed their life one day, and they would gladly receive it. They would be saved if you would just give it to them. And yet, churches are filled across our land with people that got all the outside marked down and right. And I'm not preaching against that, y'all know. I'm for that. Amen. Live right, spit white. Amen. Spit white. Amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. I thought I was in a room of snuff dippers. Amen. Amen. Charlie's wiping his, checking his chin back there, making sure it ain't getting told on him. Woo! Hallelujah. Listen, you ought to live a holy life. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There ain't nothing this world needs worse tonight than some messengers that know the Lord and are living for the Lord, that have a constraint in their heart, that they want to get the message of Jesus out, and being constrained. Not just browbeat. I hope you don't think I'm trying to browbeat you tonight. I'm trying to inspire you. I'm trying to get you to say, how in the world can we keep it to ourselves after all that the Lord has shown and given to us, and let us know personally? Why would we not want to get it out to the public? And man, I think about them lepers in the Old Testament. When the Syrian army had come down against the people of God and stirred up a famine in the land, they had cut them off from resource and supply. Now there's famine and hunger among the people of God. God miraculously delivers the enemy into the hand of the people of God. They don't even know it, except for a few lepers that are outside the city gates of Jerusalem. They show up and they see that the army's gone, but the fires are still burning, and there's food on the stove, and there's drink in the vessels, and there's garments, and there's all everything that they needed to live. Everything they needed to be sustained was right there. And they thought for a minute about keeping it for themselves. Remember what that one leper said? How can we keep this to ourselves? There's people in there that are hungry. There's people in there that are thirsty. There are people that are in need. There are people that are dying. There are people that need what God has provided here for us. And they could not contain it to themselves. They were constrained to share what God had given to them. Amen. The conception of their message, the constraint of their message, the concern of their message. Verse 17. As we look here in just a moment in verse 17, note that verse 16 states that when they made their way to Bethlehem to go by faith, see this, come and see this for themselves, what did they see? Verse 16 is clear. They found and they saw Mary, Joseph, and Jesus lying in a manger. Is that what they saw? That's right. Amen. However, when you come to verse 17, they did not have anything to say about Joseph. The message they were to spread and make known abroad said nothing about Mary. Amen. They didn't run around telling everybody about the manger. Are y'all with me? But rather,
The concern of the shepherd's message was very specific, very detailed. Notice what the Bible said. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Amen. I was reading one author and studying for this, and he brought out, he said, had they preached Joseph, had they told of Joseph, that would have been occultism. Had they announced and made known Mary, that would have been Catholicism. Had they talked about the manger and how poor of conditions that was exhibited that night that Jesus was born, had they focused on the manger and the setting, that would have led to socialism. Are y'all listening? Buddy, I'm telling you, those are the three things this world's preaching tonight. Those are the things that are being magnified. Men and Mary and mangers and what those represent. Tonight, that is not the message. People don't need to know more about Joseph. And people don't need to know more about Mary. And people don't need to know more about the manger. People need to know more about Jesus tonight. He ought to be the concern of the message that we preach. Amen. What do you talk about with those you come in contact with? Amen. What is the concentration of what you communicate in these days? Amen. Boy, we can talk politics. That's fine. We'll do it. I don't like to. It makes me aggravated. But Tim said it made his blood pressure go up this morning. And so it makes my blood pressure go up. Amen. Makes my hair fall out. Can y'all tell? We talk about politics. We talk about sports. We talk about work and making money. You want to talk about hunting? Amen. I'm hunting a big deer right now. We could talk about that. Amen. I'd be glad to talk about that. But let's be honest about it tonight. There ain't nothing could come off our lips tonight, there would be a greater thing to concentrate on than just tell about Jesus a little bit more. Some of you got friends down at the job, they think they're all right with God because they got baptized. Some of you have friends that think they're okay because of their identification with some religious sacrament or some religious activity that they do. Some of you work with people. Some of you have people in your family and think they're all right because they do good in society. They've joined organizations that feed the hungry, and there's nothing wrong with that. Go join them and go do it. But that is not what's going to bring somebody to God and take somebody to heaven one day. And in a world that is confused, and in a world that has been led to, and in a world that, my friend, the God of this world has blinded their eyes, my friend, with everything from religion to full-blown pleasures of sin, what an opportunity to be the messengers and bear a wonderful message that Jesus came to set you free from all of that. The concern of their message was nothing more, nothing less than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Number four tonight, the connection of their message. And I'm done. Somebody say amen. The connection of their message. I noted in verse 17 a moment ago. Let me note it again here. And when they had seen it, I love this next phrase, Brother Mike. They made known abroad. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? That simply means they made this message known to everyone that they could. They were not phobic. They weren't phobic. They didn't look at people and go, oh, they're too bad for us to give that message to. They look too mean. They look too tough. They look too wicked. And so we're going to go on down here to somebody that looks more like us and give them the message. No, they made it known abroad. They didn't care what people looked like. They didn't care what garments they wore. They didn't care what their background was. And they made it known abroad, simply meaning Isaac. And they made it known to everyone they could. Those and my friend were just in the path of their daily business. And those that God would bring into their life, maybe even through providential ways. And they were in tune enough to the message and the need of those that were around them. And they made it known to everyone they could. Amen. We as independent fundamental Baptists, and by the way, I are one and I'm not ashamed of it. But we're some of the worst people in the world for judging people concerning the giving, even the giving of the gospel. And if they don't look like us, talk like us, act like us, you do remember what Jesus said, I'm not come to call the righteous to repentance, I've come to call the ungodly. Sinners is the ones he's interested in. I'm talking about, my friend, those that look the worst and those that seem the hardest and those that seem like they're steeped in sin and could never be rescued. I'm telling you, and Jesus and saved the worst of the worst. I met a boy the other week, and I was hoping he's going to be here today, and I'm going to get on him. Amen. And he's got all kinds of churches since he's got saved. He's had all kinds of churches that are pulling on him. Amen. They didn't care nothing about him before he got saved. And now everybody's trying to pull on him. Come to our church. Come to my church. And it's all, if the boy go, he said, I'm just going here and there. Everybody invites me. I show up. I told him, I said, you're going to be confused if you ain't careful. Amen. But in the course of our conversation, he said, man, I've been to jail and I've been in prison. He's a young guy. Began to give me his testimony. I'm talking about, I don't know all the things this guy did, but he bears in his body physical marks of sin. He's got holes where God didn't put holes. He's got marks on his body that are not birthmarks. God didn't put them there. As we was talking, he said, you can look at me and tell I've lived a hard life. I won't call his name tonight, but I called his name. I said, yeah. I said, but if you're telling me the Lord Jesus Christ met you where you was and you put your faith in him, though you bear in your body some marks of a past life, you are no longer what you was. Jesus Christ has changed your life. And him and I right there in that place of business, we both got to crying and shouting and praising the Lord over what God could do. I looked at him. I called his name, Gerald. I said, what I want you to know is that had I not met you today, had I met you 6 months ago before Jesus saved you, I'd have still invited you and you'd have still been welcome in my church. I'd have still had this same conversation and tried to get you to the Lord in spite of how you look and in spite of where you've been and in spite of your criminal record and whatever's on there, because Jesus is interested in sinners tonight. Amen. See, it's a Pharisee that seeks to make a proselyte out of somebody who looks and acts like them. Pharisees are only interested in those that do as they do. Appear as they appear. Are y'all listening? I got news for you. The gospel works for whoever you give it to. Amen. By the way, Jesus said the Pharisees, you'll cross the sea to make a proselyte out of somebody. And when you get done with him, you'll make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself is. Is that good preaching? I wish somebody helped me preach. Y'all ready to open. Y'all are already on Wednesday and we're still on Sunday. Come on now. They made a connection in this message and they were connecting it to everyone. And I remind you, the message is for everyone to hear. God wants everyone to hear the good news. God wants everyone to be given an opportunity. I have revealed to them what was revealed to us, and to know the message, and it has come from heaven, and the message will work when it is brought to the lives of those. If one sinner will put a little bit of faith in that glorious message, their life can be saved and changed. Amen. So who are you connecting the message to? Amen. You say, well, I've tried that, and I hadn't, you get all kinds of reactions and responses from people when you go trying to connect the message. Mike, when you go connecting that gospel message in their life, it's amazing the responses you get. I have had them slam the door in my face. Say, why are you on my porch? Get out of here. I'm not interested. Wow. I've knocked on doors. They didn't come to the door. We just simply left the track. Go about two houses down the way, and ungodly cuss words and threatenings come out of where you just been, just because you left a little piece of paper with the gospel message on it in their door. I've had all kinds of reactions. I've had them want to stand there and debate why their religion was right and mine was wrong. And you can sit there and debate all that stuff all you want. I'm not debating with nobody. What I preach, I know it's so. Because I didn't get it out of no other book. I didn't get this in a classroom. I got it right out of the Word of God. It's what God said in His book. What I'm preaching, I can back it all up with the Word of God. And so I've had them try to debate me. I've had some threaten to fight me and whip me out in the front yard. Amen. I've had them sick their dogs on us. You know, listening? I've in public, and it's really where I'm trying to work on becoming a better witness, Brother Jack, just everywhere I go, being perceptive. Who can I talk to? And I've had them raise their hand and say, oh. There's a guy in this town, I'll see him later in the week, that if you seen this guy, you would think that this guy, he kind of looks like a pirate. Y'all ever met somebody go, they look like a pirate? Amen. He has. He's from Florida. There's all kinds of pirates in Florida. All right? Yeah. This guy, he's big, and he just has a, he's got a gruff and rough look to him. I worked up the nerve one day, so I'm a witness to him. I went up to him, and we're friendly with each other, had been before, was in the moment. Began to start inviting him to church and talk about the gospel. He raised his hand. He said, you just need to stop right there. I'll talk with you about anything else you want to talk about. Not that. I said, yes, sir. I did my part. Amen. And you know what I've been able to do? Every now and then, he'll come around, and without giving him an invitation to church and the gospel, I just start talking about how good God is to me, and he's got to listen to all of it. Ha! Amen. He come in one day, he had his arm in a sling. I said, what'd you do to your arm? And he told me he had had surgery. I said, well, I'm praying for you. He don't even believe in prayer. I said, why you do all that? You trying to agitate him? No, I'm trying to let him know there's somebody who's got something on the inside that cares for his soul. Amen. So you get all kinds of reactions. Amen. Notice in the text, two of them. I'm done. Some wondered at the message. It's what the Bible said. They made it known abroad, these things that they had seen concerning this child. The Bible said in verse number 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They wondered, that is, that in the moment there was a draw, there was an enthusiasm, there was an interest there. There was something intriguing in their heart when they heard these messengers give this heavenly message. Amen. It doesn't say they believed it. It just said that they were open to hearing it. They were engaged in the conversation. It did something in that it sparked in them something that caused some amazement in their mind and in their thoughts. And I tell you tonight, there's some, they're going to let you talk to them. And they'll even engage you, and they will have a wonderment. And I've watched some be a flash in the pan. They're not like these shepherds. These shepherds heard it, responded to it, received it, had the personal experience, and now are messengers themselves of the grace of God. They weren't fly-by-nighters. They weren't one-nighters. They weren't flash-in-the-pan messengers. These men, that listen, that the message they had been given changed their life. But now they're giving it to others, and some wonder at it. Amen. A lot I could say there. I need to quit. Notice some not only wonder at it, some ponder on it. The Bible said even Mary herself was listening to them messengers. The Bible say that Mary kept all these things, pondered them in her heart. Some wonder at it and some ponder on it. I want everybody that is lost, that hears me preach, I want everybody that is yet to be saved to get saved. Not for a notch in the belt, not for anything other than their eternal soul is at stake. Amen. Is that right? That's how it ought to be, right? Amen. I'm finding in these last days, it seems like there are more people that, for whatever reason, they're just pondering. When the Bible said Mary, when Mary had heard these things, she pondered on them in her heart. Brother Bob, it literally means she just kept thinking about it. She kept thinking. She had already had her own experiences with angels showing up and communicating. And by the way, she gave birth to the Son of God. When them angels came as those first messengers giving what they themselves had received, she just kind of filed it away in her mind and in her heart. She's not trying to figure it out, but she's just letting it do its work in her life, to the point that Mary, the mother of Jesus, would become a believer on Jesus Christ, her own son. She would be there in his dying In his dying days, she would be that even when those tough and gruff, full-grown men who were supposed to be disciples who had already made their commitment, Brother Tim, to the Lord, we'll never forsake thee. When every one of them but John had turned and went away, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had pondered so much on the message that had been given to her in those early days, 33 and a half years later. She was willing to stand at the bloody cross of her Savior. And I tell you tonight, there's nothing wrong with people who just ponder. I remember when I got under conviction. People say, well, explain conviction and talk about conviction. And I don't know that conviction can be explained so much as it is experienced. And there's a lot I could say about it. But the Bible is pretty clear in Romans 3. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Is that right? Man ain't born seeking God. He's born going away from God. All we like sheep are going astray. We turn everyone to his own way. We're not born seeking God. So part of conviction is God comes seeking the sinner. begins to do so in such a personal way that sinner now begins to seek God contrary to his own sinful nature. Amen. Y'all remember when the Lord began to let you hear the message? Maybe it's some loud-mouthed hillbilly preacher. Maybe it was some mild-mannered Bible expositor. But somewhere along the way, you heard the message. And maybe you heard it. Maybe you had never heard it, or maybe you had heard it 100 times before. But there was a moment you really began to hear it. 2 weeks. I remember the night God let me really, really hear it. I was 17. I grew up around this. It's all I've ever known. All the days of my life. But I wasn't always saved. Because there is no such thing as there is such a thing as household salvation. You get saved and live for God and get the gospel to your children. God can save a whole family. But it's got to be one by one personally. But you don't get born into salvation because your parents are Christians. You're born as lost as your parents were. I was. For 17 years, I was around messages even like what you've heard tonight, Brother Larry. I'll never forget the first time I really, truly heard what God had said in his word pertaining to this message. I can take you where I was sitting. It's like in my mind. Betty, in my mind, it's like it was yesterday. I went from being some disinterested, rebellious pastor's kid, couldn't wait to do my own thing, to, oh my goodness, I've heard something I had never heard, but I've heard it my whole life. Something began to work in me at 17. Where all of a sudden, Brother Mike, I began to seek God and I began to seek that understanding. I believe with all my heart, I could have got saved that first night. God dealt with my heart and let me hear it. I believe I could have got saved that night in the basement of the First Baptist Church of Garden City, Michigan. God had so rung my bell. I didn't even understand. I've been around it my whole life. I didn't even understand it all. But I knew I was lost, and I knew what I had was not nearly enough to be right with God. I believe I could have been saved that night. But I left pondering. I left thinking on it. And I pondered it for 2 weeks. May have been the best thing. I don't recommend it. It's how God worked it in me, Brother Tim. I don't recommend anybody put off not 1 minute after you know you need to be saved. Immediately, my recommendation is get saved right away. I put it off for 2 weeks. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, when I come out of that 2 weeks and I bowed my knee and said, Lord, I'm tired. Tired of fighting you, tired of fighting the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of resisting this message that you have so clearly let me hear. And I bowed on my knee and said, by faith, I'm receiving Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't shake me. You can't shake me off what God did for me 28 years ago. You know why? Because God let me ponder some things. While I was pondering, he was making it all real in my life. In that moment, Brother Riley, when I called on the Lord, I'm telling you, I believed the message. I knew it was real. What I preached tonight is exactly what God delivered to my soul that night I got saved. And I'm telling you, you can't shake me off because I was there when it happened. I was there when it was made real and clear and plain. Amen. So tonight, as we are messengers for the Lord, some are going to react with wondering. Some are going to react by pondering on it. But whether there was wonders or ponders, whether they seen a great mass of multitudes of people ever come there to that scene to see the Christ child, you know what they did? They just kept on giving the message out. Child of God, keep giving it out. We're getting ready to start a new year. The Lord Terry's is coming. Another few days, we're going to be in a brand new year. And may the Lord help us recommit ourselves, no matter how people take it, just to keep on preaching the gospel. Keep on telling it. Keep on giving it. Pass your tracts out. Get some of them booklets Brother Bearden's left with us. We got more where that came from. Do all you can to get the gospel out. This world, they don't even know it. But they're counting on us to be a faithful witness. Amen. The messengers, come and see. Have you come and seen? Are you saved tonight? I don't think I'm going to give invitation, but I do want to ask this. Have you ever come and seen? Has salvation ever been made personal in your life? You ever seen Jesus for yourself? If you had, child of God, go and tell. That's your duty. That's the least you can do as a child of God, is go and tell it to somebody else. Lord, I love you tonight. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you tonight for these series of messages surrounding the scene of the birth of our Savior. Lord, tonight as we brought it to an end, the responsibility on our shoulders we realize tonight is great. Lord, in a world of darkness, in a world that has gone astray from God, there is such a need for children of God and those that are just common men and women that have been rescued by the grace of God. Apart from, Lord, kings and priests and social aspects, Lord, we've been saved by the good grace of God. And I want to bless your name tonight, that the blood and grace of the Lord Jesus is enough. Lord, we've learned that. We had to come to that understanding. Lord, even in our own upbringing, we're thankful for that day you made it clear and plain. That day when we didn't understand and didn't seek after God. But Lord, you came seeking after us. Lord, you put something in our heart by way of the Spirit of God to begin to seek after God for ourselves. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the day you let us respond. And Lord, that you kept speaking and you kept calling and you kept messages before us that, Lord, in time would become a reality. Lord, I'm glad this evening, Lord, you delivered me from the religion of my parents. I'm glad you delivered me from the religious aspects of my upbringing. That, Lord, by the grace of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you let the message be preached that I could have a relationship with you. Lord, I'm thankful for that, Lord, that you have done in my life. Do it for others, we pray, as Lord, it's your will, that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. Bless us now, Lord, as we dismiss. I'm praying, Lord, tonight for our church family and friends, that you'd give them a good and safe week with all the time they'll spend with family and friends. And Lord, if they're on the road and traveling, and Lord, even if it's just across the county, I pray there'd be safe guards raised up and given to them, and that, Lord, you'd bring us back on next Lord's Day, Lord, excited about the Lord, ready to worship your Son and praise him for all that he's done. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. We love you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.